Luke chapter 2. But before we do that, why don't we pray? Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to meditate and on your word and singing these songs, singing these great carols of praise and worship to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask you, Lord God, to open our hearts to receive the truth of your word, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, I wanted to look at those words that Mark just read before, which say in verses 10 and 11, well, verse 9, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, is born for you in the city of David. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth, lying in a manger." I guess it's just good for us to think at this time as to what message we pick up at Christmas time. When Santa Claus comes to town, Santa Claus says what? Ho, ho, ho. That's right, that's what Santa Claus says. When Mr. Shopkeeper comes to town, he says what? Ha, ha, ha. Spend, spend, spend. Okay. Mrs. Moneylender, she comes to town, she says what? Borrow more at 35% plus admin fees, plus setup fees, plus extra costs. Mr. Lion Breweries comes to town, he says drink until you drop and then come and buy some more. Okay? Everybody has that the message for you at Christmas time. And what's the point of a fat man in a red suit? No offense there, Santa Claus. What's the point of a fat man in a red suit just coming around laughing anyway? Okay? Well, God has something to say to us, okay? God has a message, and he sent his angel, and we're told here in this passage in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, in verses 9 and 10 and 11, well, verse 10 particularly, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." So this is the message. This is the message of God to you and I at Christmas time. So we need to hear this. We need to get this one embedded in our brain so we don't forget it over the next few days. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So the first thing is this, very simple. What's his message? What's his message? His message is, the first word is, do not be afraid. Don't be scared. That seems a bit strange, doesn't it? Somebody comes and says, don't be scared, don't be afraid. And I guess probably a lot of us today, we think, "What? You know, why should we be afraid of God? You know, God is love and God is all just nice and he wants to bless us and do good things to us. Why would he come and say that?" And especially today, I guess, when most of us are sort of fearless, we've got a pill for this and a pill for that, and we have no guilt because we're just expressing ourselves, just doing what's in our hearts. So why would the shepherds have been afraid? Why does the angel need to come to them and say to the angels, why does the angel come and say to the shepherds, do not be afraid? Why would the angel have to say that? Well, apparently, if you do a bit of research, shepherds, and I didn't know this until recently, shepherds in those times actually were considered to be lowly, they were considered to be unreliable, and they were also considered to be ceremonially unclean, okay? So they were considered to have a low position in life, not important. They weren't rich and famous. They were considered to be low paid, low unimportant people, as the world looks at them at least. They were considered to be unreliable. You couldn't trust them. They couldn't take their word for anything. And they were, because they hung out with sheep all the time, and because they obviously had to butcher sheep and all that sort of thing and prepare sheep for the market and look after sheep, they were considered by the religious people to be ceremonially unclean. So, if you're like a shepherd, lowly, unless you're a really important person, and my humblest apologies to you today, if you're in the wrong place, if you're really important, too important, if you're lowly like me, if you're unreliable, if you don't keep your word all the time and don't always do the things that you have said you will do, despite your best intentions, and if other religious people think you not to be up to their standards, then the angel has a message for you too. Do not be afraid. See, it wasn't just to these shepherds. We're told earlier that John the Baptist's father, his name was Zechariah, the angel appeared to him, and the angel said exactly the same thing to Zechariah. Zechariah, do not fear. Now, who was Zechariah? Zechariah was one of the priests. He went into the most holy place to offer the incense. And the angel came to Zechariah. He's a priest. He's a religious man. He's like a leader in the church. Comes to him and says the same message. Do not be afraid. Don't be scared. Don't fear. The angel came to Mary. And we read that before. The angel came to Mary and said to her, the mother of the Lord Jesus, said to her the same message. Do not be afraid. Don't be scared. So why does the angel have to say that? We need to ask ourselves that question. Why does the angel need to come and say to people, don't be scared? Well, the point is this. It reminds us of our sin, doesn't it? When a holy God comes and appears to you and I, whether you're a shepherd, whether you're a priest, whether you are the mother of the Lord Jesus, Mary, the Virgin Mary, when the angel of God comes to you and appears to you, it reminds you of your sin, reminds you that you're fallen, reminds you that you are rebellious by nature, that you want to do things your way, you want to cut your own track. It reminds you that you're deeply marred by sin. And I guess no one, and that includes all of us, no one in this room is excluded. And of course there's another point is this, you know, when the angel of God comes to people, what's going to be your first thought? If an angel appeared to you, holy crap, that's right. Because, why? You know, because there's another one who comes with a big scythe, you know. What's he called? The Grim Reaper, angel of death, okay? So an angel appears to people, and you're going to be thinking, whoops. Oops, this is it. This is it. I remember talking to one of my aunties, and she was talking about my grandfather, and she said, you know, he was lying on a sick bed. He was kind of out of it, but comatose. He was coming to his last days, and suddenly he sat up in his bed and said, do you see that? And then he just passed away. You know, he saw something, an angel or something came to him. Maybe the Lord Jesus, we don't know. But that was it. The Lord came and took him. And so if you're around and the angel comes to you and you know, you're in your bedroom and the angel appears to you, you're going to be a little bit nervous. Are you ready? Are you ready for an angel to appear to you? Well, the point is this, none of us really are by ourselves, are we? And so the angel has to come and say, don't be afraid, you shouldn't be afraid. Why shouldn't the shepherds be afraid? Well, he explains it, doesn't he? He says, do not be afraid, I bring you good news. And this is the next point that I want to deal with here. This is good news. Notice the words that the angel uses. He says, do not be afraid for or because or just I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Now, most of our Bibles, that word there, good news, that term good news, most of our Bibles, or should put it this way, in most places, our Bibles will translate it with the word what? Gospel. Okay? I bring you gospel. That's what the angel said. But here, our English translators, they make a decision to say, let's put good news. It's the same word, and that's the right translation. Why? Because this is the good news. This is the best news. Everybody likes good news. Who likes good news? If I say to you, do you want the good news or the bad news? You know, we all do the psychological thing. Do I want to be end on a high note or a bad note? But, you know, everybody likes to have good news. You know, you just won $10 million. That's good news, I assume, for most people. Okay. You just got a job. You just won a prize. Everybody wants to hear good news. And at Christmas time, God's message to us is good news. And it's not just any old good news. He says this is good news that is going to produce great joy. Good news of great joy that will be for all people. This is going to produce rejoicing. This is going to produce celebration. This is going to produce ecstasy on the part of those who receive the news. You know, there was an old guy called Simeon. Now, he was a priest in the temple, and he had seen a lot, and he had lived a long, long time. And one day he's in the temple, and Jesus' mum and Joseph, they come along, and they bring Jesus to be presented in the temple. And when Simeon, he sees Jesus, what does he say? He says, "Now, Lord, I can die happy because mine eyes have seen your glory, the light to the Gentiles, the glory of your people of Israel." So for Simeon, when he saw Jesus, when he saw the gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ, he could say to him, he could say, "I can die now. I'm happy. This is all I need to see. This is the greatest, and this is the thing that just fills me with peace, lasting, deep, sober joy." And I don't know if there's many things in life that fill us with such joy and such rejoicing. You know, we have times, we have seasons of joy and rejoicing. Maybe it's, somebody asks you to marry them. Maybe it might not actually fill you with joy in some instances, but generally it does if it's sort of things are tracking the right way. The birth of your child. If any of you here are parents, and you, that feeling of when you first held your baby in your arms, that's the most amazing feeling, isn't it? It's a really powerful thing. But then, you know, fast forward a couple of weeks, and that beautiful baby is crying at 4 o'clock in the morning and has been since 5 o'clock the night before, and you've had no sleep. Sorry, Anna. The Lord is our strength and our comfort. You know, there is a Bible verse that covers this. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Okay? But, you know, you can that joy is sort of diminished a little bit, isn't it, somewhat, when you, from first holding that baby to now you're sleepless and stressed and so on. But Jesus, the angel who announces the birth of Jesus says, this is good news of great joy, deep, lasting joy. And it's joy that's just not for the shepherds. It's just not for a few faithful Jews. It's just not for the Jews on their own. It's just not for a few Christians in a church on a Sunday. But this, he says, is joy for everybody. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. All people. This is like amazing. This is something that is going to divide history in two. Before the Lord Jesus Christ, we call that what? Pardon? BC, that's right. Unless you're reading one of those funny new books that call it BCE. And it's like, come on, guys, we know what you mean, but you're just trying to make it seem more politically correct. Before common era. This is before Christ. And then everything after that is called what? AD. History is divided in two by the coming of the Lord Jesus. Nothing is the same again. And it's good news for everyone, from whether you're living in Buckingham Palace, whether you're living in the White House, or to the smallest boy on the back streets of Takanini, or to the oldest lady on the back streets of Remuera. Okay? That's good news for everybody. For all places, all people. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why we as churches exist. We exist to come together to encourage each other and to build each other up, but we also exist so that we can go and share that good news with others. Because until everybody is rejoicing and worshiping the Lord Jesus, they need to hear that good news. So he says, do not be afraid. This is good news. What is the news exactly? It's good news. It's going to bring great joy. It's for all the world. Well, what does he say it is? He says, the angel says, this is today, verse 11, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Well, he's born in this special place, born in the royal city of Bethlehem. This is where David was from, according to the promise. What is he? He's a Savior. Jesus, the scriptures tell us, was born to save his people from their sins. Jesus was born to save his people from their sins. So if you're a sinner, you need to be saved, right? It's pretty simple, really. If you're a sinner, you need to be saved. Think about it. You go to your doctor and you sit in the doctor says, come in here and sit in that chair. So you go into your doctor's room and you sit down in the chair and you say to your doctor, doctor, my heart's been attacking me. And the doctor says, that's all right, I know what that is. That's a heart attack. Right? I've heard of this before. The doctor says, I know what to do for your heart attack. He goes, hang on a minute. He goes out of the room and he comes back in dressed up, and he's got a wig on and a big red nose and a big painted smile on his face and big long shoes. And he goes, here I am, I'm a clown, I'm a happy clown. Do you feel better now? Right? Okay, of course it's not going to do anything. You're going to be... Or he goes and says, I know just the cure for your heart attack. I have got Dan Carter. Right? Dan Carter's going to come in. Here's Dan Carter. And Dan Carter walks in the room. You're going to go, well, nice to meet you, Dan Carter. But my heart is still attacking me. I still got a heart attack. Okay? And the doctor goes, no, wait a minute. Actually, I've got it now. I know the cure. Here is the Right Honorable John Key. Right Honorable John Key, here is my heart attack patient. Could say hello. All right? Now, let me ask you a question. How's your heart attack? Is it cured? You're probably dead by now, haven't you? Okay? Especially after all the excitement of meeting some celebrities and having a clown and all that. It's crazy, isn't it? A doctor doesn't do that. The doctor doesn't say, let's entertain you, let's introduce you to a celebrity, you know, let's put on a nice movie for you. That's not going to cure your sickness. You need possibly a heart surgery, or you need some medication at least. You need something to reduce your blood pressure and something to thin your blood out and maybe get some new arteries put in your heart. Stop the angina. If you're a sinner, you need a savior. Okay? You don't need entertaining. You don't need lights, smoke. You don't need cool costumes. You don't need a pat on the back and told that you're good. Or you don't need hours and hours of counseling. If you're a sinner, you need a savior. And so Jesus is come as the Savior, and that is the message of Christmas. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. To you, okay? To you who are sinners. To you shepherds, lowly, unreliable, ceremonially unclean. To you and to I, who are the same as those shepherds who should be afraid when the angel appears, a Savior has come. And who is the Savior? He is Christ, he says. He is Christ the Lord. Who is Christ the Lord? This, we know what this word Christ means. Can you give me a Hebrew translation of the word Christ, anybody? Bit of Hebrew out there? Messiah, you reckon? Mashiach, Messiah. All right, I'll take Messiah. Okay. He was Messiah. What does Messiah mean? It means anointed. It means the one that has been chosen and anointed and set apart to do a specific work. The one that comes to represent the people. And Jesus is the King who has been anointed, been set apart, been given the authority to rule and reign over his people. It's Jesus, guys. Note that. It's Jesus. It's not Moses. Okay, it's not the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt. It's not that. That doesn't do it. That won't save anybody. It's not Moses. It's not Muhammad. Okay? It's not Joseph Smith. He was the guy, I think he wrote the Book of Mormon. Not Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber. All right. I heard a joke the other day. Somebody said, Justin Bieber's retiring. And they said, that's because his voice is broken. He has to. That's an old fella's joke. Not Justin Bieber, not Lady Gaga, not John Key. Okay. Jesus, just Jesus, who is the Savior. He is Christ, God's chosen one, the only chosen one. And who is he? He is God. He is the Lord. This is no ordinary Savior. Okay, God takes this very seriously. God knows your need and my need, and so he comes in himself. He comes Emmanuel, God with us. This is how seriously God takes your sin and my sin. So, Christmas time. Lots of messages, lots of voices, lots of things that people want you to hear and do and spend your money on and give your time to and focus your attention on. And but the best news, the most important news, is the news or the announcement that the angel made. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. I will bring good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Do you think that's great news? Okay. Hands up if you think it's good news. Shouldn't be too much of a tricky question. Okay. All right. Now I've trapped you. Now I've manipulated the crowd. Okay. If you think it's good news, surely it's worth sharing, isn't it? It's worth sharing, isn't it? You go, "Oh, Jeff, now you're putting the guilt on me." Typical pastor thing. Okay, ask us if it's good news, and now he's going to tell us to go out and evangelize everybody. Typical. Now he's going to make me feel guilty because I'm not evangelizing. Well, I'm not about making you feel guilty because I have enough guilt myself. But I think that maybe this is really good news, and this news is worth telling other people about. So you say, "Jeff, who am I going to tell? Who am I going to talk to about this?" Well, if you go to work, there's a likelihood that you work with people, and there will be conversations about Christmas, about what you're doing for Christmas. And you can just say something as simple as, "You know, Christmas for me, we go to church. One of the things I love doing at Christmas is singing Christmas carols about Jesus, because I believe that, you know, for me, Christmas is about the Lord Jesus coming into the world. That for me is what Christmas is all about." Or when you go to the shop and you're in the shop and the shopkeeper says to you, "What are you going to be doing for Christmas? How are you going to be celebrating Christmas? Or do you want that gift wrapped?" You can initiate a conversation and just along the same lines without being really weird and freaky about it. When you go into the petrol station, you know, you can evangelize people at the petrol pump. Okay, you can. Done that. You just talk to them and just say, "I'm going on my way, and Merry Christmas, and what are you going to be doing for Christmas?" And have a conversation with them about it, and you can share with them what you believe Christmas is about. With your neighbor, you're leaning over the fence, or meet them at the driveway, or with your friend, or with your families, you're sitting around the barbecue, and you get into conversations. You have opportunities. We all have opportunities. to talk about what Christmas is really about. So there's a thought for us. I'm not going to ask you next Sunday how many of you, I put up your hand, how many of you told somebody, shared your faith, shared your testimony. But it's worth doing because it's great news. The angel thought it was great news, okay? And I don't think angels get it wrong that often, all right? Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. That's for everybody. So that's what the Christmas angel wants you and I to hear. That's what the Christmas angel wants all the world to hear. Amen. Right, we're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Seems we've been talking about angels. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King.